Robert Bush, Director of Closed-End Products at Calamos Investments, is here. We're talking convertible securities and more now on The Navigator. Welcome to The Navigator, where we talk about all-weather active investing and plotting a course to financial success with the help of closed-end funds. The Navigator is brought to you by the Active Investment Company Alliance, a unique industry organization that represents all facets of the closed-end fund industry, from users and investors to fund sponsors and creators. If you're looking for excellence beyond indexing, The Navigator is going to point you in the right direction. And today, we're heading in the direction of convertible securities, and then we're going a little bit past that with Robert Bush. He is Senior Vice President and Director of Closed-End Products at Calamos Investments. You can learn all about him, the firm, and its closed-end funds at calamos.com. And if you want to learn more about business development companies, interval funds, and closed-end funds generally, go to AICAlliance.org, the website for the Active Investment Company Alliance. Bob Bush, it's great to have you back on The Navigator.
Always a pleasure, Chuck. Thanks for having me.
Bob, we're going to start this conversation talking about convertible securities, which, you know, there are times when convertible securities are seen as, hey, you're getting the best of both worlds. But in an environment where stocks are doing badly and bonds are doing badly, are you getting the worst of all environments if you're doing convertibles now?
Well, you would think so, Chuck. I mean, you're quite right. I mean, the idea behind investing in convertibles is that you can get a large part of the upside of equity exposure, but with a little bit less risk, a little less volatility. Unfortunately, in the market that we've had year to date, you've had bond markets that have been down, you've had stock markets that have been down, and unfortunately, you've had convertible markets that have been down. So the S&P 500 year to date at the end of September was down roughly 15.5%. You had high yields. The MSCI World was down about 20%. You had the bond markets down, high yield down about 14% as well. Convertibles were down 20%. So there really has been no place to hide in this type of environment. You're quite right.
In terms of what that has done for closed-end funds, I mean, there's always that, hey, what can you get on sale? What's been happening to discounts, et cetera? Convertibles are historically a not well understood investment. Does that mean that they're less understood right now? I mean, it is supposed to be have your cake and eat it, but is it suffering more in an environment where nobody even sees that there's cake, let alone being able to have a taste of it?
Well, it's a fair point. I mean, obviously, it's a tough sell when convertibles are underperforming both bonds and stocks. You know, I think there's a little bit of a light at the tunnel. We did actually see the convertible market rally a little bit in September, which was able to actually pull a positive return, at least with respect to domestic convertibles for the third quarter. Not much, a couple basis points, but still positive relative to many of the equity and bond indices. I think, you know, in the context of the closed-end fund space, convertibles have held up, I think, relatively well. The convertible funds have held up relatively well compared to the fixed income funds. It's interesting. We were looking at discounts in the closed-end fund space, and you compared it to the end of last year. Taxable fixed income was, on average, roughly flat. If you took all the closed-end funds and averaged them, roughly flat. It's first week in October here. They're the average discount's about 6.5%. Municipals about the same thing. They were roughly flat at the end of last year, about a 7.5% average discount now. But equities and convertibles actually have held up relatively well compared to their fixed income counterparts. And I think a big part of that is that while you've had an environment that typically is not favorable for the closed-end fund product or the trading of that, again, you have negative returns in the components that invest, that closed ends invest in. But actually, more importantly, you've seen such a spike in short-term interest rates. And bear in mind that, you know, many of these funds are leveraged. Taxable funds are leveraged, and they're borrowing at short-term rates with the idea being that they're going to earn more on the reinvestment than they're paying out in the service of the debt. They've actually held up fairly well. I mean, one of the ideas is twofold. One, typically equities and convertibles are an equity proxy, if you will. can hold up reasonably well relative to fixed income in a rising rate environment. Typically, stocks do a little bit better relative to inflationary environments than bonds do. But I think there's even a sort of a bigger picture at hand here. As you well know, the issuance in the closed-end fund space, there's been a dearth of it, has pretty much shut down since February. Whereas over the course of 2020 and 2021, we had about $24 billion of issuance. We've only had $1 billion in 2022. And again, that's attributable to the market volatility, as we all know. But I think what that's done is that has that lack of supply, I think, has in many cases helped support the secondary market for closed-end funds, specifically the equity-oriented. And I think the convertibles have benefited from that as well.
I want to look at some other things that are in the Calamos lineup. And specifically, I want to go to two funds that I could see investors using similarly, even though their structures are very different. One is the Calamos Strategic Total Return Fund. That's ticker symbol CSQ. The other is the Calamos Long Short Equity and Dynamic Income Trust, which is ticker symbol CPZ. Different strategies, but same basic role that they could play in a portfolio. Their performance has been different. Their discount status is very different. I'm curious to you, as you look at these strategies and you're trying, you know, people are trying to find the right fit, why one working better than the other, you know, what's the right mix for people to look at?
Right. That's a great question, Chuck. Well, just to take a step back, CSQ is primarily a domestic equity fund. Has to have over 50% in stocks, and roughly the breakdown of that has been 60% in equity, about, call it, 20% in convertibles, and maybe 10% in high yield, or the balance spread out. You are generally investing in larger caps, and it's an older fund. CPZ is our latest closed-end fund. We brought it out in the end of 2019, which was not an easy time to bring a closed-end fund out when you're investing the proceeds right as COVID's hitting in the first quarter of 2020. But that is the only long-short equity product in the closed-end fund space. And it's more of a global fund. It has typically invested about 70% of its assets in the long-short equity strategy. We have a mutual fund that with the same portfolio lead manager on that also has a similar strategy. And the balance is about 15% in high yield, 15% in preferred. So the long short strategy, again, is hedged. The NAV on that has performed very well on a year-to-date basis, outperforming the S&P and the MSCI by over 1,000 basis points. So it's held up well on a performance basis relative to long-only equity funds that, you know, don't have that long short hedge. In other words, they can't reduce their equity exposure as CPZ has. So the reason I think that it's traded at a discount relative to CSQ, which is traded fairly flat. In fact, right now of our six closed end funds, we've got three of them at premiums and three of them at slight discounts, which I think is very, very, very strong price NAV dynamic given the volatile environment that we've been in. I think CPZ is one that, you know, there's a story there. I think clearly we sold it at the IPO with getting that story out on this long short strategy. But I think as it gets into the secondary market, there may be, you know, greater communication that we need to do to sort of inform the market exactly what it is, because a lot of folks don't know what long short is. They may not appreciate it. And in the case of closed end funds, you know, there may be a reason why it sort of trades below its NAV.
Really interesting perspective, Bob. Thanks so much for sharing. We'll talk again down the line, see how it's playing out at that point.
Always a pleasure, Chuck. Thanks for having me.
Robert Bush is Senior Vice President and Director of Closed End Products at Calamos Investments, which you can learn about online at calamos.com and on Twitter at Calamos. To learn more generally about closed-end funds, interval funds, and business development companies, check out AICAlliance.org, the website for the Active Investment Company Alliance, on Facebook and LinkedIn at AIC Alliance.